Welcome to those of you who are viewing on way of Facebook or Sermon Audio or Vimeo, I don't know what it is, YouTube, wherever you're finding us broadcast. We're glad that you've tuned in to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're a little smaller in attendance tonight. I guess it is summer months, right? But y'all, we're good. Some great prayer requests and praise notes and witnessing opportunities. And so if you have a prayer request or a praise note and you're listening, don't be afraid to put it down there in the comments, and Pastor Danny will pray. All right, his prayer is countable. Actually, Pastor Danny will get it and give it to Rebecca, and she'll pray, and then you'll really get somewhere. So it'll be good. All right, in your Bibles tonight, Philippians chapter number one, and we began a few weeks ago. I've gone last week, and appreciate Pastor Danny filling in for me, but I started a little sermon or a little Bible study out of Philippians chapter 1 that I entitled The Y'all Church. Now, if the Southerners understand what I'm talking about, I like the expression myself quite a bit, saying y'all. And initially when I came up with this, I was doing a Bible study, just reading through some of it, and I noticed one of the authors kind of brought a little indirectly, and then I saw this, and I'm like, oh, it'd be a great Bible study. And I thought, I'll do one that night. I'm popping a little bit. A little bit, Hunter. You might be losing. Sorry, that's a Hunter and I thing. But when I first saw it, I thought, I'll write a Bible study and we'll use it one Wednesday night. So I thought it'd be one Bible study. And then I started writing it and it got long. And I said, you know what? It's going to have to be two Bible studies. So tonight is part two. But there's more. I'm not going to get done tonight. So there's going to be a part three, and then we'll see where we go from there. But as you know, y'all is a Southern expression, and a couple weeks ago I asked you guys some of your favorite Southern expressions, and I gotta tell you, I was kind of surprised at how many of you had things to say on that. Matter of fact, Muffy gave me one after the fact that I have heard this one before, and I don't know if y'all have heard this. There it is. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Y'all heard that one? I just follow some of the Yankees here. I have heard that one, so that's a good one, Muffy. And I did a little research on finding out where in the world did that come up with. And apparently, there's debate on it, but apparently, I guess kids, are when they were little, they'd work in the fields, in the turnip fields, and then they'd get a ride to town if, you know, on the back of some turnip truck. And apparently, if they weren't paying attention, it went over one of the bumps in the road. Off you'd go. You know, so that's how we learn down here in the South. That's how we do it. So I don't know. Anybody else got any fresh ones for a couple weeks before I move on? I we had so many. I cut you off last time. Yeah, Pastor Danny from South Dakota. Clutch my pearls. Okay. Is that PG-13? Oh, pearl. Okay. All right. I can't tell you, I've heard that one. I'm glad, I can't believe you're doing that. He's a pastor. Oh, man. Okay, this is why we don't open things up to the public. All right? You know, pastors are not involved. That might not. The Southerners here are going, never heard that one before. Bill's had to know they never heard that one. So that's a South Dakota or Oklahoma saying, or Virginia saying. All right, so strike that one from the record. Anybody else who's actually from the South? I'm sorry, you are. How long do you have to live in the South before you become the South? I think you become the South when never. Is that what it is? I am full embracing. I think when I started using y'all and didn't even realize I was saying it, my family told me, then I knew that I'm here to stay because I ain't going back. See, and I use ain't too. And I'm an English minor. So doesn't matter. You're in the South. That's how we communicate. So anybody else? Yeah, Holly. He's a few fries short of a happy meal. That's a more current one, but I have heard that one. Excellent. Anybody else? You guys are good. Yeah. What's that?
I don't know if it's from the South, but it's called Would You Did You? Like,
would you did ya?
You did break that knife, would you did
ya? Would you did ya? I've heard it. Is that like how much wood could the woodchuck chuck if something like that one? Yeah, okay. I get that's kind of like saying I'm fixing. You know, that's the fixing one. You know, when I moved to the South, I realized when they say, if a Southerner says to you, I'm fixing to come over, that means an indefinite amount of time. You know, when you come from the north, we think that means 5 minutes. You would be wrong. It just means I'm fixing to. When I get good and ready to come, I'll show up. You know, that's southern time. Yes? Bobby says, finer than a frog hair split three ways. I don't know if I've heard that one before. I didn't know frogs had hair, which I guess is quite the point. Is anybody, any of the Southerners, Bill, you've heard that? You heard that one? No? Sorry, Bobby, we're getting a no. Maybe you brought that one back from China or something. I don't know. Over in China, they don't cut hairs on frogs. They eat them. That's what they did. Anybody else? Those are good. Thank you, Bobby. All right. The Y'all Church. When I went through this chapter one, there are four distinct times that in chapter one of Philippians, God chooses to give us in this letter to the church at Philippi the term you all. And I just have shortened that from a Yankee version to a Southern version. From you all, we would simply down here say y'all. And it does four times, and I thought about the church at Philippi, and it was a very missions-oriented church, a very financially giving church, and how that equates to hopefully some of the traits that are in our church. And I hope if you're attending a church somewhere, I hope these are characteristics of your local church. The first one is found in verse number 4, but we'll pick up reading in verse number 3, Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. So we saw last time, the first mark, or first y'all of the church of Philippi, is praying for y'all. And if you're around this church any length of time, I hope you hear somebody say, I'm praying for y'all, in terms of praying for your family. It's a common phrase. All right, prayer. Then we went to verse number 7. Let's just read on in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We looked at last time how the term fellowship in koinonia literally brings the idea of a monetary deal. And understand, the church of Philippi was easily, biblically, one of the most giving churches that financially that the Bible records. And so he says, from the very beginning of my ministry, you started supporting me. And then in verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Again, we talked about different interpretations. I personally think the best interpretation is referring to their financial investment in Paul's ministry. Paul told them it would have eternal investment purposes, that as they began to invest in God's ministry, that ministry will go on and go on and go on. And even as we are tonight, we are reading the letter to the church of Philippi, and we are being blessed by the financial investment of that local church. And it's going to go on and on and on, which is why our church is really big into missionaries and investing in missions. Because in missions, when you make an investment in a biblically based evangelistic disciple-making missionary, that's an investment that will always pay dividends. And so then he goes on in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my bonds, remember he was in prison, and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So he said, you know, I'm here in prison, but because of your financial investment, I'm here in prison and I'm defending the gospel, I'm confirming the gospel, I'm showing folks that I believe this, and I'm demonstrating it by, you know, teaching the Old Testament scripture, showing that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he says, ye are all partakers of my grace. As God gave him grace to minister in very difficult circumstances, and the gospel message went out and influenced right into the very palace of Rome, that Paul says, I want you to understand that you folks back in Philippi that took out your wallet or wrote a check or swiped your card, you're partakers with me. Isn't that a tremendous thing? When we give to missionaries, like in our church in Ethiopia or in Burma or in Nigeria or in the Philippines or in China or wherever we give, we are partaking with that missionary. And it's not just drive-in ministries that show in the movie, and you know they're sure they're out there doing their thing, but we are there with them. That's an awesome truth. But Paul says, first of all, he's praying for y'all. Then we saw the second y'all, verse 7, it is meet for me to think this of you all, of y'all. Why? Because I have you in my heart. First, he is praying for y'all. Secondly, he loved y'all. He was saying, love y'all. Again, a very common statement in the South here. Well, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We could use more of it. But praying for y'all. Love y'all. Now we're going to move on tonight to the third one and just spend a few minutes on number three, and we'll find that as we move on in our passage here on to verse number 8. The Bible goes on and says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after," here it is again, "you all. I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." I long after you. Basically what Paul was saying was, I miss you. So here in the South, we would say, miss y'all. Praying for y'all, love y'all, miss y'all. Now, I think about missing things, and there's two different categories, and I thought about this, that it really comes down to. There are things we can miss, physical items, and then there are people or relationships we can miss. Now, I want to start with things we can miss. Are there any things that you miss? All right. Oh, now there's, leave it to the pastor's wife to give a good answer. She says they were in South Dakota on their two-year Mormon mission. I'm just kidding. While they were gone for a while, they missed Donut Heaven. And I'm telling you, if you're listening all around the country, I don't care what your donut place is, there's a better one right here in Prattville, Alabama. It is the best. So I feel you. When we're gone, when can we get back to Donut Heaven? I thought on a similar one. Now, this, you have to be a local, been around here for at least a while to get this one. But in Montgomery, Jenny and I used to love Flips. Y'all remember Flips right there on Taylor and Vaughn Road? Nobody else here? I know Dale Thomas. If Dale, you're listening, Dale and I and Sarah, we anybody else ever go to Flips? No, I guess nobody else. Karen, that was a great place, wasn't it? They had burgers and gyros and Flips Uptown Grill, and it burned down, and then they didn't rebuild it, and it was just felt. Now it's the Shrimp Basket. Oh, they went out of business. See, Flips was around for a long, long time. Every time we're at Taylor and Vaughn Road, I'm going, man, that's where Flips used to be. You know, Flips were there. Anybody else? Something you might miss? Yeah, Danny? Your IROC. All right, leave it to a car guy. Pastor Danny says he misses his IROC. I can relate to that. Is that like smart? It's kind of like pearls. I don't know. Okay, delayed. Some of them got it. It took a minute, but sometimes my humor is not good. I miss the IROC too. It really beautifies our parking lot isn't all bad when we get it resurfaced. But I got to tell you, if you're a car lover, there are certain days you can come to this parking lot, and we have some beautiful automobiles that adorn our parking lot. But any rate, anybody else? A thing you might miss? Yeah, Taylor? The beach. You're only 3 hours away, man. You're young. You got, maybe after church gets out, 20 more minutes, you could be there by 11. I mean, I hear you, though. Love the beach. Love the beach. Anybody else? Something you would miss or do miss? No, yeah. A pet. Okay, I thought you were pulling something Colombian on me there, and I'm going, I don't get it. Okay. All right, a pet. All right, now that one kind of borders on, but you know, I know Brock and I've had this discussion. Brock says pets have a soul, right? Isn't that what you say? They absolutely do. All right, see, he knows. And so you can, if you want to have that discussion with him, you see him after church. I think it's good. Don't it? Hey, God can resurrect anything he chooses to, apparently. Nothing's impossible with him. And so, but a pet, I miss one. I have one in particular that I miss. And I know several of you here, I know there's Achilles and there's Toby and then Pepper. Now, the Joneses never miss a pet. In the Jones family, if the pet gets too uncertain, it becomes dinner. They're missionaries, huh? So you don't want to be the pet that, poor Ruby drew the short straw. It had to be their Labrador retriever for years. But in any of the things that you mentioned there, and sadly, this maybe for some people this is a dilemma, and if it is, I feel sorry for you, but would any of the things that we miss rival some of the people we miss? If I were to ask you a person right now, and they could be someone that is still living, or it could be someone that has passed on to the other side, And I say, what's one person you really, really miss? And, you know, for me, my grandmother would come to mind. You know, she's with the Lord now. And, you know, Brother Rick Potter comes to mind almost every single week. I miss Brother Rick. You know, and I imagine in your mind right now, there's somebody. And the blessing, if they haven't gone on to the other side, is that, you know, you can get on, or you could be doing it right now. No, in our church, you can be on Facebook, sending a messenger, or you could text, or you could do whatever and say, hey, just saying hi, you know. The dilemma I wrestled with this week that I want to unpack from God's word here in a minute, but was kind of this fundamental question. Can we miss something or someone particular that we don't love? Can you miss them if you don't love them? Or at the very least, like them? Because the more I thought about it, I thought, I suppose there's a graduated scale on how much you miss something. Like if I were to compare a thing versus a person, I hope most of it would say, you know, the level of what I miss that thing compared to that person is not, you know, they're opposite ends of the spectrum. But when it comes even specifically to people, can you miss people you don't love? I don't know if I totally had the answer to that. I wrestled with it a little bit this week. What do you guys think? Can you like them? I think you could like them and not love them. Yeah. See, when I thought about it, I thought, well, I think you could probably like someone in a phileo, if you want to use the Greek, the phileo kind of love, the friendship kind of love. I miss that friendship, you know. But maybe I could go one step farther and say, the more you miss someone, the more that scale goes from a friendship love to an agape love. The deeper the missing. And you know, for me, my grandmother, but, you know, we have in our family, my grandmother on Jen's side, you know, she's with the Lord now, and her and grandpa married 69 plus years, 69, they're about make 70, and there's no way I could ever even adequately describe the ache that couples like that, when they are separated, feel. You know, I'm an early bird, only been married 32 years. You know, we're just beginning. And so from that thought comes this correlation that I want to bring us back into why I believe God puts this message here in the book of Philippians. If we miss what we love, then be careful what we love. Right? If we miss what we love, then be careful what we love. Paul says that God is his witness here in our text verse here tonight in verse number 8. For God is my record, you know, God is my witness how I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. He says, God's my witness that I loved you so much that produced this missing, this longing for you. And I loved you in the bowels. Remember, in the Greek word literally comes down from the word we get our spleen. It means from the guts, from your core, from your inner self, that you miss them, that you love them. That Paul's love for these people flowed out of Jesus' love for them. Now, I want to slow down here and I want to park it because I've shared this before, but I every time I revisit it myself, my mind, you know, it's just one of these great biblical challenges. Some translations might say it, and in the Greek, a very literal rending of this verse, you know, the longing for you all with the affection, with the inner guts of Jesus Christ. So I have this longing for you in the love of the affection of Jesus. And as Warren Wiersbe, and I'm going to quote Warren Wiersbe here, another guy I like to read, Wiersbe says, it was not Paul's love channeled through Christ, but Christ's love channeled through Paul. Now, this is critical, and I know it's Wednesday night, some of you are tired, but I want you to see this is what Paul's saying here in verse number 8 about why he missed them, was rooted back into why he loved them, and he's pointing out that his love for them is not his love channeled through Christ, but Christ's love channeled through Paul. In other words, it's not me to Christ to them. In other words, you know, well, I love that person and I love Christ, so because I love Christ, then I'm going to let Christ go to them. No, Paul's saying, here's Jesus over here, and here's this person over here, and Jesus loves this person. And if I were to ask you, how much does Jesus love a person, would you not say it's a pretty high love? All right, so Jesus loves this person, and Paul says, when I recognize and realize Jesus loves this person, and I want to have an agape Christ kind of love, it is Christ's love channeled through me to them. Do you see the responsibility that is? That is literally the Christ life, the Holy Spirit filled life of Christ's love coming. I receive it. I say, well, I see this is how Jesus loves. He selflessly loves. And I want it to flow through me to this individual. Do you see the difference between that and me saying, I want to go over here to Christ, and then me and Jesus will have a discussion, then I'll turn around and I'll say, okay, now I'm going to give to you. Or, Jesus, you love them. I'm praying for them. It's a high calling, and yet it is the key to why many Christians burn out on loving other people. Because one of the hardest things in the church life, in the faith life, is loving other believers. Because we can be pretty prickly. And if you think that the idea is, I have to love them, and Jesus gives me this reservoir of love because my relationship with Jesus is over here, and I'm loving Jesus, and he gives me this love, then I take that love, then I give it to them out of myself. No. It has to be the Christ life coming through me. And when that is happening, the source of that love is ultimately not in me and you. Now, that's stunning. It's also a tremendous amount of responsibility. Now, if we miss y'all because we love y'all, then it's critical to be careful how and who we love and how we do that love. And that's why I think Paul goes on to some very, very important verses of Scripture, ones that are really, really critical. So I want to read them to you. Let's go on in our text. In verse number 9, Paul then, with that in mind, brings this to bear, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul says that if we're going to have love for others that is going to be the right kind of love, if our love for Jesus is going to grow, that real love always brings judgment and discernment. Yikes. You see it there in verse number 9? He says, I'm praying for you that your love's going to abound, that your love's going to grow more and more. How? And in what is it going to abound? In knowledge and in all judgment. Remember unbelievers' favorite verse of the Scriptures? Judge not, thee be not judged. You know, they all know, they can all quote that verse. You're not supposed to judge. And I'd say, oh, but I am. Have you never read in Philippians chapter 1? I didn't know there was a Philippians. They don't know where judge not is found either. You know, you can fill them in on that one. But no, we are commanded to be judgmental. And anybody who says they're not judgmental is lying. Because we make judgments every single day, every single moment. You decided, you made a judgment whether you wanted to be here in person tonight or watched online. You made a judgment if you did come here, what space you parked in the parking lot. You made a judgment. You made a judgment which door you decided to come in. Once you came into the auditorium, you made a judgment on who you would talk to. And my feelings are very hurt for all you who avoided me. I know you did. I'm just kidding. You know, get over yourself. But we make judgments. We make judgments all the time. And the difference between a 2-year-old and hopefully an 18-year-old is that the 2-year-old has more sound judgment than the 18-year-old. Okay, I'm just kidding. I messed that up on purpose. We would anticipate that as we grow older, that an older person makes wiser judgments. And when an older person doesn't make wiser judgments, there's problems, isn't there? There's consequences that come. Judgment and discernment is essential in your love relationship with God and it's essential in your love relationship with each other. Now, if you're tuning in here tonight and you say, oh, maybe whatever reason God's got you here and you think, oh, this Christianity, is it ever relevant? It's about to be really relevant, all right? I can promise you in a stack of Bibles, I'm about to help your marriage, or if you have a girlfriend, whatever it is, I'm about to give you some Bible truth that'll help you out a lot. When I choose to let the Christ love come through me, I have to identify and submit to the love of Christ. And if his love's an agape love, we know agape love is a love that chooses to do, makes a choice. It's not primarily emotion, primarily a choice of the will. What is best for you? I've had people tell me and say, well, I've done this for this person, but I really don't love them. Now, I understand there's a potential. You ever done anything right because it's the right thing to do? You've held your nose, but why did you do it? Most of you would tell me, and you have told me, well, because I felt that's what God, i.e. Jesus, told me to do. So you did it because you love Jesus? Sounds like love to me. Agape love is making a choice to do what is best for the other person. That's why Paul is really careful here to say that when we're investing in this thing about love, that we may approve or we may test things that are excellent. An excellent love. Now, around here, we try and strive for excellence with anything we do. Matter of fact, we call it our No Junk for Jesus philosophy. That within our ramifications of what God has called us to do, and keeping our priorities in balance, we don't want to do things around here and say, well, it'll last for a week or two. That's not the philosophy we've tried to run with, and that's why it's taken us a while to do our sound room, because I want to do the sound room, and the guys are following that lead. Want to do it right. I'd rather take more time and figure it out, and somewhere along the way, and we've been doing the sound room, the guys said, hey, we thought we were going to do it this way, but guess what? We found out. But it's going to cost us a little bit more, and unless it's crazy, I'm going to say, do it right. No junk for Jesus. You know, you ever ask the question, what happened to excellence? You can't go anywhere in our culture today. Try to go to most fast food restaurants. Or even in that case, some sit-down restaurants, or go to your local retail store or wherever you want to go. And many times, the person on the other side of the phone, you know they, I don't know how they got out of kindergarten or something. I'm not showing the love of Jesus very good here, am I? We've lost educational excellence in America for the sake of making sure everybody feels good. And excellence and approving things that are excellence is a Christian foundational doctrine. And when it comes to your love, do we seek after excellence in our love relationships? And I would ask you, is excellence ever achieved easily? No. This is why there is so little of it. You know, it's amazing to me how unsatisfied we as human beings can be with mediocrity in things that affect our lives. I just mentioned going through a fast food line and, you know, welcome to please. Yeah, I'll take a number one with chicken. Is that right? That'll be. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I get unsatisfied with mediocrity when things touch me. If I take my car, I'm a car nut. If you don't know that, I'm a car nut. And if I take my car into heaven, I don't care if it's oil changed. I don't care if it's getting my tires right. I want it done with excellence. And if it's not, I hear about it. When it comes to my wife, if she gets a strawberry shake, there better be strawberries in it, so much so that that shake bleeds. Otherwise, she's not happy. I just wrote in my notes, how come in general American Christianity, we are unsatisfied with mediocrity and core things in our life and everything except when it comes to our faith? We give God, most professing Christians, and I'm not going to make judgments on whether they're believers or not. That's between them and God. But I will say, I can look at your life and say by your priorities, that your commitment to excellence in your faith is minimal. You don't put your dollars where your mouth is. You don't put your time where your mouth is. You don't put the willing to pay the price. And we wonder why the American church is in the state of mediocrity. It's because when it comes to our love relationship, first with Christ and then with others, we're not discerning. And when he's saying discerning, it's not saying, well, you're bad. We're talking about how is it in my life? I need to approve. I need to judge it. I need to try it. Is it excellence? He goes on in verse 10 that says it can be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. If your love relationship is only based on a set of rules, there can be some sincerity in rules. But if you read the New Testament at all and you read Paul, who was out of the Pharisees and the works law relationship, the bulk of the New Testament is about law and grace and how we as believers are not under law but are under grace, and we ought to be grace givers. And yet when it comes to relationships, if we're like the Pharisees and it's a bunch of rules, and I'm afraid that when it comes to our faith, a lot of Christians, it's just rules. Wear this, don't wear this, go here, don't go here, and if I keep all the rules, I'm a good Christian. Now, if you come to our church, here's newsflash, I think that's a terrible theology. You go into a church where everybody always has everything the same, I would tell you to find another church. That's just me. Because if you're a gospel-centered church and letting the Holy Spirit change people, it takes time. Some people it happens faster than others. Some people don't understand these, what we call standards. Now that being said, when it comes back to the love relationship, I want you to understand, you're saying, Pastor Ken, are you saying there's no standards, there's no rules, there's no boundaries? I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that those boundaries better be motivated and produced by love and not self-righteousness. That's what I'm saying. In other words, and here's the eggshell the bombshell, whatever you want to call it, the Easter egg, whatever it is, for tonight's Bible study if you're married or in a relationship. When you love somebody and you say, I love you, with that love ought to come discernment and knowledge that produces an approving of excellence that says, because I love you, and right now I'm looking at my wife, because I love you, there are things that I do and do not do. I set up boundaries, and the reason I set them up is not because some guy got up in a pulpit here and said, bless God, don't do this. It's not why. It's because I love you enough to say there's some boundaries, some safeguards. I'm not going out with the three or four other girls on the town. I'm not going to the bar on Friday night. Say, hey, I'm going to the bar with some of my friends. Yeah, three of them happen to be women. See you at 2 a.m. You don't love your spouse if you're into that kind of garbage. You put boundaries. And guess what? The boundaries that Jen and I have in our relationship can be somewhat unique. Now, there'll be commonalities with every other relationship here in the room, but there might be some uniquely different things to every relationship, and that's fine. Paul wants these believers to grow by discernment, being spirit-filled. He goes on to the day of Christ so that the bema seat, when you and I are all there, that Jesus says, well done. Live life as a person of love. You see, the problem with the power of love is it easily blinds us. You ever fallen in love with somebody and then found out it wasn't good love? All of us here probably at some point, maybe when you were a teenager, we fell in love. You know, and then you found out that other person really wasn't all in. I think all of us, if I were to have time tonight, could tell a story or two about, yeah, when I was a teenager, I had this, I was in love, and then blah, blah, this happened, and it kind of scars you, doesn't it? I know it does, because most of us still remember some of those first loves that went wrong. That's why God says, get away from that immature, non-approving, non-excellent love, and instead be sincere. The Greek word brings the idea of sunlight. Test it with sunlight. It doesn't create offense. Love one another. By this all men shall know you're my disciples. See, love is sincere. Ever found out, as I mentioned, someone's love wasn't sincere? And I think all of us tonight, when I ask that question, say, yeah, I can probably remember somebody. Let me ask you something. Do you miss that person? Probably not. You don't miss them because it wasn't predicated on love. And Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, was saying, hey, with all that you've done for me, I love you, I miss you, I'm praying for you. I want you all to have a love for one another so that your love is so strong that when you're apart from each other for any length of time, you can honestly say, you know, I miss y'all. I know Pastor Danny and Rebecca, if I can pick on them for just a moment, when they were away from us for a few years on military deployment or station duty in crazy places, I don't know the appropriate military terminology, but I think it's safe to say you guys missed. I don't think you missed the orange carpeting. I don't know. You might have missed the drinking fountain out front. I don't know. But I tend to think that what you missed the most is the people. I know you did because I saw you put it on page. And I was sitting in my office while I was writing this thing. And I asked myself this question, and I would ask you tonight. Can you say of other believers of whom you've been separated, I miss y'all? If you can't, I'm going to suggest to you that your connection to your local church is not what God intended it to be. Because we ought to be praying for each other based on love for each other because we miss each other. And I was just curious if you guys can remember somebody from our church, this is from Open Door, that you miss that's not here anymore because they got moved out of the area. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to put you guys on the spot like that. I'm going to tell you, if you're watching tonight, you're probably somebody I miss if you're watching tonight or you're listening. But just in a real hurry, I sat down there and I said, Russ and Rachel. I'm not going to use last names because of identity, but I got a bunch of heads shaken. Russ is pastoring now in Louisiana. You know, praise the Lord. I wrote down Andy and Mary. I wrote down Jason and Marie. Every week I miss them. Rob and Miranda. Ben and Heather. Jim and Angela. He's a colonel now. Yes, sir. Colonel Jim. Matter of fact, I named a door after him. And Brother Jim, if you're listening to this, I still call it by your name. I have some friends you all here don't know from my first ministry, Ruth, Jack and Sue, Tom and Betty, Larry and Sue. And I can tell you, I miss these folks. Why do I miss them? Because I love them. And as a church family, I want us to pray for each other. I want us to love each other to the degree that in our relationships, when we're gone, we miss each other. You know, even when it comes to marriage, you know, I understand I've been married 32 years, so, you know, I got a little experience at it. But if I'm away from my wife for too long, boy, I miss her. And I hope you have a relationship if you're married, because it's unfortunate that many folks I counsel, and my heart breaks for them, they live separate lives. And they don't miss each other all that much. It's not how it's supposed to be. I remember a few years ago, Matt and I were in China. And we were in some tenuous locations at times. And I was involved in unscrupulous behavior. is that true to say, Brother Matt? Matt went over to guard me. Almost got himself arrested. But all the things we went through there, I can tell you that both of us, we were back there at night in our resort, and I put that in quotes, on these beds that was like sleeping on a snare drum. I kid you not, right, Matt? I can amen. But of everything we missed, it was our wives. Yep, so we both cried like babies. Yes. That didn't make it on the live stream, so I ain't even doing that. You had to be here in person to get that nugget. All right. pray for y'all, love y'all, and miss y'all. And I hope y'all will come back on Sunday. I'm thankful you tuned in tonight. What a blessing to study God's word and see it in its context. Hope it's been a blessing to you. Let's love one another. And so thankful for our church family and how God has been so very good to us in that area. All right, let me have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. And Lord willing, we'll see y'all on Sunday morning. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for just the relevancy of your word. Lord, I thank you for this church at Philippi and their heart for missions and for the Apostle Paul. Lord, help us as a church family to stay passionate about missions, passionate about one another, recognizing that we channel your love through us to those around us. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, go back to our normal lives, all the different things we're going through, Lord, I pray that we would be used of you to share your love. Lord, our nation needs you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. We'll see you later. Over and out. See you here. See you there.